Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. God bless you. Thank you so kindly for joining us this morning in the Situation Room. We do hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our marriage questions and answers. Marriage questions and answers. And we have a couple of marriage questions and answers that we want to answer for you today. And we hopefully this can be a blessing to you and your family, whether you are married or whether you are single. This can help you. This can help you. You may know somebody that's married, and this can be a blessing unto them. And if you're single, you don't know, God could be sending somebody for you to get married to. And God is using this to prepare your heart. And so there was a pastor friend of mine. His secretary got married at 60 years old. She got married at 60 years old. So you may be 60 years old, but it's not too late. Matter of fact, I've read about a couple that got married in their 80s. And so you just never know, you know, what God's got in store for you. Let's look at these questions that we have. We got a couple of questions here. The first question is my spouse is struggling spiritually. What can I do to help? My spouse is struggling spiritually. What can I do? They want to know what to do to help. Well, now, let your mate know that all of us struggle. All of us struggle. It sound like this person is about to throw in the towel and want to give up. But you can't give up. All of us struggle. Matter of fact, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, he struggled. Look at what he says over in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Look at what he says here in Romans chapter 7. He says, for we know that, verse number 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Notice Paul's struggle. Paul talks about a war. See, there was a war going on in his soul. He said, did you notice that? He says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwell no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul says, I don't have the capacity to do right all the time. Why? He said, because I still got sin that's dwelling in me. I still got a problem on the inside. And he said, so in other words, He's looking at this thing, the old man and the new man. The old man want to hold you back. The new man want to take you forward. The old man want to bring you down, but the new man want to take you up. And when I say the old man, I'm saying the old you and then the new you. So there's a war going on in you. I heard one preacher say it's like Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde that's going on in all of us. I heard another preacher put it this way. He says that it's like the old dog and the new dog. You have one dog that you're feeding and one dog that you don't feed. And so you got these two dogs like going to battle on the inside of you. Well, how do you win the battle? How do you win the battle? You win the battle. He said, for the good that I would, let's go back and look at his struggle first, and then I'll tell you how he won the battle. Verse number 19, he says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So the stuff he says I don't really want to do, I end up doing it. What's my problem? How can I overcome this? Look at what he says down here in verse 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then notice what he says. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What is, notice, and then notice, go right on into chapter 8. There's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, look at verse 25 again of chapter 7. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I thank God through Jesus Christ. It's going to be through Jesus Christ that you're going to do it. It's going to be through his Holy Spirit. And so in chapter 8, the struggle was in chapter 7. But in chapter 8, he's going to show you about relying on the Holy Spirit. When you got the Holy Ghost, then you can do it. You can do it. Verse number 8. He says, so of chapter 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. See, you got to look at your body as being dead, or you got to look at that old man as being dead and that new man as being alive. So let's say you go to a funeral. You go to a funeral and you see a dead man there laying in that casket. You see a dead man laying there. All right. But you know that dead man loved alcohol. He loves to drink. He was a drunkard man and he loved to drink. And so what you do, you get that alcohol and you let him drink. But he can't drink. Why he can't drink? Because he's dead. He's dead. And so that alcohol can't do him no good, can't do him no harm. Why? Because he's dead. And that's how you got to get the victory, my brothers and sisters. You got to see that old man as good as dead. treat that old man like he's dead. Don't, when he's dead, so you be dead to alcohol. So when somebody try to offer you something that you know that is not of being a Christian, you play dead to it. Yeah, you know how to play dead. And really, when I say play dead, you just acting like you are on the inside. Yeah. And so, and not so much playing dead, you just be dead. You be dead to it. As a matter of fact, when you look at chapter 6, when you look at chapter 6 of Romans, it tells you that. In verse number, it says in verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death has no more dominion over us. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he live unto God. Likewise, here it is, reckon ye also your members to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is going to give you the power to act dead. So when somebody try to tempt you with alcohol, play dead to alcohol. Somebody tried to tempt you with drugs, play dead to that. Somebody tried to tempt you to sex or what have you, play dead to it. So just play dead to those things, and you'll win the struggle. But then when it comes to God, then you wake up. You wake up to Bible study. You wake up to prayer meeting. You wake up to going to church. You wake up to doing those things that God wants you to do. And so that's how you help your mate. You read Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, and Romans chapter 8. And you can help your husband, your wife, whoever it is, overcome whatever they are struggling with. Let me give you another scripture too. Galatians chapter 6 tells us to verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so approach this thing in a spirit of meekness. Don't fly off the handle. Don't get all mad. Don't get ready to curse your husband or your wife out. Approach this thing with a spirit of meekness. Verse number 2 says, bear ye one another burden and fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? That's the law of love. And so practice some love and mercy towards this struggling person. And try to encourage them. Try to encourage them to do the right thing. Try to encourage them to read the Bible. Pray with them. Read the Bible with them. And just be there. Be there for them. Be there for them. And let me give you this illustration too. Help your mate to read. And let me tell you why they need to read. It's somebody told me this story, and I'll just tell you this. It was, this man had two dogs. He had an old dog that he didn't feed. And he had this other dog, another old dog that he did feed. And one day, after about a week, he put both of them out there in the rain, and he let them fight it out. Now, which dog you think won the fight? The dog that he didn't feed for a couple of days, the dog that he was feeding every day. Well, the dog that he was feeding every day won the fight. You know why? Because he was stronger than the other dog. The other dog was too weak to fight. Why? Because he ain't been eating nothing. In the same way, whoever you feed is who's going to win the fight. If you feed that old man, that old sinful man that lives on the inside of you, if you just let him have his way, then the old man gonna win the fight. But if you starve that old man out, that old you, if you starve him out and don't feed him anything, don't yield to no sin, and you feed the new man, you getting into your word, you reading your Bible, you praying and stuff, that's feeding the new man, then you're going to win the fight. You're going to win the fight. All right, we got time enough for one more. Let's see here. Yeah, we got time enough for one more question. Let's see here. All right, let's do this one. How important is it for us to build and maintain friendship with other couples? How important is it for us to build and maintain friendship with other couples? Well, it's very important. You're going to need a friend. But make sure that you got friends that y'all are compatible with. Just like you got to have a couple, a husband and a wife got to be compatible. Y'all got to like some of the same things. Y'all got to have the same value system and things like that. Same goals, same principles in life. Then your friends got to be the same way. You can't be having no worldly friends now. No. You can't have no worldly friend. You got to make sure you are compatible. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, the Bible says. So even though they may be your old friends and y'all used to do this, now you married now. You married now. And you saved now. Now you in church now. So if these old friends are not in church, no, leave them alone. If they're not going in the same direction that you're going in spiritually, they're not growing spiritually, then leave them alone. They're carnal minded, then leave them alone. But if they're spiritual minded, then yeah, you want to maintain a good friendship with them. Friendship is very important. Matter of fact, it's a chapter in the Bible, chapter 27 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27 focus on friendship. It has a lot to say about friendship. Let me turn over there. Proverbs 27. It has a lot to say about friendship. He'll give you a proverb on something, and he'll go a couple of verses, but then he'll come back to talking about a friend. He'll come back talking about a friend. Look here at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 6. He says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You want to have friends in your life that's going to tell you the truth. But the truth often hurt. Did you hear what I said? You want to have friends in your life that's going to tell you the truth. See, a lot of times, that's why, let's say, like if you're a couple, then you may need to get an older couple. And a lot of times, God has already furnished that older couple for you. That older couple could be your granddad and your grandmama. That older couple could be your mama, your daddy. Yeah, that older couple can be your auntie, your uncle. Or it could be another older couple They're not necessarily your blood auntie or your blood uncle, but they are like your uncle. They are like your auntie. Yeah. And they'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you the truth. That's why I often tell people, you need to have three people in your life. You need to have somebody who's like a father figure to you, that is about 20 years older than you, that that person can speak life into you and can tell you the truth. But then you need somebody around your same age. You need somebody around your same age that can speak truth in your life. But then you need somebody that's about 20 years younger than you. Yeah, you need somebody that you can talk to and that you're mentoring and that you're speaking truth into their life. And so that way you just ain't all sucking it all in. You're passing it on to the next generation. And so it's important that you have some people older than you being your friends, but it also helpful that you got somebody around your same age being your friend. So it's important. But keep in mind, it says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Yeah, you want somebody that gonna tell you the truth, even though they done cut you up. They'll cut you up telling you the truth. You know, a lot of times people, they tease me here at the church and they say, "Pastor, that was a good sermon, but you sure cut us up today." I mean, you cut us up. Well, that's what the scripture is talking about here. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I mean, that's good to have somebody that's going to tell you the truth. It may hurt you, but you'd rather have that than have the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Yeah. See, a person who come up to you and they telling you all the sweet stuff and they kissing up to you and stuff like that, that's an enemy. They ain't really your friend. No, that's an enemy. No, your friend are gonna tell you the truth even though it hurts. Yeah, yeah. Then he talks about here in verse number 9. He says, ornaments and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of man's friends by hearty counsel. Yeah, yeah. You want somebody. Just like perfume and is a good smell. Oh, boy, it's refreshing. The counsel of a good friend. You're gonna need a married man to help you in your marriage. You're gonna need a married woman to help you in your marriage. Yeah, you're gonna need it sooner or later. Then verse number 10, it says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity. For it's better a neighbor that is near than a brother that's far away." Yeah, yeah. Because, see, the neighbor that's near knows what's going on. He's living with the brother. You know, he's living next door. But you just coming in, you don't really know what's going in. I mean, you just see him once a year, twice a year at Christmas time and Mother's Day. Then you don't really know what's going on. A friend I know a lot better. A neighbor can help a lot better. A friend can help a lot better that's near than a brother that's far away. And then the last scripture, verse 17, it says, "An iron sharpen iron, so a man sharpen the countenance of his friend." Yeah. A good friend can make you sharp, and a good friend can keep you sharp. A good friend can keep you on your P's and Q's. And so that's what you need. You need a good friend. So hopefully that answers your question as it relates to how important is it to have a friend. It's very important to maintain a friendship with other couples, provided those other couples are going in the same direction that you're going in. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.